there was a time this preacher was called this congregation. And so, hey, the topics that were given basically was called by the youth team. So they gave him like a random topics. Then this guy preached past the sermon. Then the gentleman went in. He was candid as possible. He was speaking about those parts that like they were his. You could see the frowning on people's faces in that fellowship, because he like laughing. Well, I've heard that these things about sexuality are normally talked during the marital courses, and I understand. So when they come, when they are the preachers of the gospel, when they come in front of everybody, they tend to be a little bit more cautious about what they are saying. And so this preacher was like throwing millet in front of many chicken. Wow. That hall was mixed with every kind of reaction. It was like, this is just absurd, this is like wrong, what. The others like me were like, hey, these things happen and it's important to understand the physical part and all these things. And it was a hilarious topic. By the way, welcome to the podcast. This is Young with Words with Kevin Ngai, with Ngai Awemali, sorry. But anyway, the thing that I'd want just to think through with myself, with the help of an audience. And by the way, if you have any questions, anything, I'll put a place where you can just write them down and things like that. And they'll be very, very helpful for the continuity of this podcast. But anyway, the place that I have a little bit of a problem with this whole reaction between when this service, the pastor is... When the pastor finished, people didn't really go on, didn't do it in his face that they were disgusted. He just sailed through the hardship of this sermon. They sailed through this hardship of this sermon, just hoped that this thing ends quickly. And once he was done, everybody just took off like they are late for something. But people were hurt for some reason. From the pastoral team to the other ones, and the only people who probably aired their concerns to this pastor candidly were the pastoral team. The others are just rumbling and making noise in the background and just looking like it was crazy. But I have questions with us who were born again, and we are not able to just articulate our concerns. Instead, we use channels for it to reach to that person. So you're like, this person can talk to them, I cannot do that. So you're using all that side. It's like, what is the importance of freedom if you cannot use it? Yes, people will get hurt, but the truth is, it will set you free, but first it has to piss you off. This preacher, I don't know how they did it, but most likely whatever he said and whatever people agreed with reached him. But so while he's like that epitome on the other side, so there's like this invisible wall between the congregation and the pastors, I have more problems with people having squabbles among themselves in the congregation, whereby this one has wronged the other one, or this one has said what he has used his freedom of speech or his freedoms to do what he wills, and in turn it hurts somebody else. Instead of that person using his freedoms to articulate their concerns, they start doing this whole thing of murmuring. I think that's why God was still annoyed with these Israelites, because Moses sometimes was annoyed. And yes, people get annoyed. And I keep referring to this. Well, preachers would use the story of Job having that conversation with God, like God was angered with him. But to be honest, he was not angered with him, because one, he let him know what's up. It's like, God, what is happening? He let him know his concerns. He didn't go on to talk with his wife or children or the village men who would come visit him, or because he was a wealthy man. So basically many people in his time in the land of Ur knew him. So instead of him doing like what we are doing now in these different congregations, instead of him going on asking people why, instead of him doing like the way those three men were doing, where they would like tell him he is wrong, tell him he's all this, tell him, and probably as they were going on to different areas, they would like talk among themselves. Instead, Job just aired out his concerns to God, and God gave him an answer. And I believe that most of us, we are hurt in this congregation. And instead of us actually just taking care of the problem once and for all, just go on and air your concerns one-on-one, as Paul would put it, that whenever you have problems whenever one brother has had them, and when there's a squabble between brothers in the congregation, they should first try it out together, then the whole steps, you know it. But for some reason here, currently, in the different congregations, is not like that. Most likely the problem might hit the social media first before even the person who has done the problem, they are grieving, even knows about it. So you're like just hearing, seeing like memes, you don't know it's about you, then later on you're like, it is you. And this time, whenever they're coming to you, it's like a mob. So they're like, what? You have done this, you have done this, you have done this. And this guy is like, since when? What did I do? And I think that one of the problems we have in these fellowships is that people don't actually exercise their rights. Because this is a congregation where you freely came into. This is like your home. The shepherd of the fellowship I go to says, you are a member of this fellowship, you have no right to, you have no right to say that these things are not right, that you are doing this. If this is your fellowship, you have the right to make the change you need to make this fellowship better than it is. Yes, that's what he said. But for some reason, people don't use that right regardless. Instead, they'll get hurt. They'll move on, and later on realize the reason why they moved on is because of this guy. They didn't use their freedom to tell this gentleman or this lady that this is why I am hurt with you. Instead, they will just, this guy, the aggriever, will end up having enemies, invisible enemies that she or he does not know about. Probably that's why God was annoyed with the Israelites when they were just murmuring down there. They are murmuring, then they come to Moses when they are annoyed. And Moses just presents the case like, I am fed up with these guys. And God is like, you are annoying my person. Okay, I'll give you food. Okay, I'll give you the meat you want excessively, and I'll give you the instructions for it. And because you're not able to take care of that, and since you are just so much inclined into your idea of Egypt, you will not get the promised land. And most likely it's one of the reasons why we murmur a lot, because we have no confidence that something can happen. And so we start by building a whole sort of a rebellious thing before actually taking care of what the problem is. And so by the time it reaches a point where it's supposed to be solved, it becomes like a huge problem than what it should be, what it was in the first place. So instead of us choosing to create a whole problem that can divide the whole congregation down in the middle, how about solve it before it blows up? Go to this person, talk to them, tell them, this is my problem, this is my suggestion, and this is why I felt hurt. And this person can also exercise their right and be like, I do not care. And because of that, is this whole process that was lined out to the point when this person can be delivered to the devil for retribution. It's a whole thing. But here's my other scenario. The reason why I'm suggesting that it's important for people to use their rights is because in the long run, people just don't mesh together well. And this is a congregation, this is a fellowship. So people just are silent to each other. They are just having lip service to be like, praise God, but in their heart, these people are horrible. See? And so this the, in this movie, this lady was talking to her daughter, and her daughter was like, she was telling her that she's angry with her because of this and this about their father and all these things. And the mother answered her and said, good, I'd rather take your anger over your indifference. A lot of us are so much indifferent in our lives that things don't concern us anymore. Like, well, if it doesn't hurt your money, people can take a lot for their peace, people can take a lot for their mercy, people can take a lot for their patience. But when you touch their money is where problems come. Yet these other things are far more important and far more expensive than the money you're so much entitled to. So these persons can hurt you, these persons can misuse your resources, these people can, the pastors, the fellowship, the congregants, the departments, all those things, they can just misuse you and you're okay, so long as they don't touch your money. And so you become indifferent to the sermons, you become indifferent to the congregants, you become indifferent to even your friends because they don't touch your money. The problem is, just think about this. So we are not exactly friends with each other in the fellowships, and yet we intend to be in the presence of God come judgment day, where it's like, welcome to the house of my father, you faithful and hardworking servant, the other one I've forgotten. And then you reach there, all of us are supposed to worship God for eternity in his presence, and you can't exactly just have fellowship with this person next to you. Now imagine eternity. And one of the interesting things about God is, he is God, and yet he allows you to see who he is through fellowships. He allows you to see who he is through congregations. And it's important for the relationship between you and God, between me and God, to be right, so that me and my neighbors are safe. So when you and I decide to be indifferent to each other, we are like just coming, praying, singing, listening, and heading on to our next thing. We are not living life. This life that is freely given, this life that Jesus died for, you're not living it. You can't get angry at people, you cannot get excited about people, you cannot get anxious to meet with Ajah, because you're just occupying the space and then live out without any impact. Just imagine how heaven would look like. Considering that now we are more than confident that the whole idea of heaven is not about food and milk and honey, because you're not going there with this body. So what would you need some milk and honey in heaven? What would you need there? The presence of God is everything, and you are there with other people. But if you can't enjoy fellowship with these other people, what makes you believe that you'll enjoy the fellowship with God? Did the preacher say something interesting? The degree that you have fellowship with God here, the degree, the how much you want to seek God, the how much you experience God here, will reflect. But he said that there's a possibility that it will reflect how much experience you're going to have with God in heaven. Not in terms of time, in terms of quality. Yeah, I have never reached heaven, so I'm not sure. But if that's the case, considering the things that we are reading in the Bible are very much consistent, if that's the case, can you imagine reaching heaven and not enjoying God in his full magnificence because you didn't even seek thirst for him that much? Just think about that. Can you imagine the kind of waste that is? Because there are people here in this earth who desire him thoroughly. They seek him thoroughly. And in their seeking of him, they're able to have fellowship with the people because they love him more. He influences their lives. They're able to love their neighbor as they love themselves, because they love God more than they love themselves. So they have experienced God immensely. And then you reach heaven, they are experiencing him exponentially and you're just experiencing him the way you're experiencing him here, you have probably just been praying for your food and praying for the things passively and be like, God, thank you for giving me life. Thank you for this night and good night. And then you reach heaven, that's the same kind of experience you have of him, because that's how much you have thirsted for him. Love God, love people. And people can only see that you love him if you give them the fruits. You cannot give them the fruits when you're indifferent. They cannot see the fruits that you have in your heart if you just occupy their space to pass the time. So you're just there, living through the motions. They are happy, you are happy because it's time to be happy. They're clapping because it's time to. Just imagine that person who thoroughly enjoys fellowship, thoroughly enjoys being in the presence of God, thoroughly mingles with the people, have those conflicts, have those happy times, have those sad times. It's like he's with them through it all. When that day comes, imagine how much you will enjoy the presence of God. Yes.